reading from the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Charles?
Before we begin, I failed to apologize. I failed to tell Donald. Roger Walling had contacted me this morning, and he said he couldn't be here today because his sister's in a nursing home that we've had on the bulletin in the past about her condition. She has a lot of health problems. She's been in a nursing home for quite some time, but we took her off the list and need to put her back on it. She is not doing good, and that's where he had to go to this morning, the reason he couldn't be here for worship. So he wanted to let everybody know it and ask for to keep her in the prayers. That's Roger Walling's sister in Hansel Nursing Home. The verses that James just read here in 2 Corinthians, the letter to the church at Corinth, Paul defended himself as an apostle, the fact that they knew him and that they understood who he was and where he was coming from and what he stood for in Christ. He actually said concerning them that you are our epistle. He had a part at the church at Corinth. He was writing letters to them, and the things that he discussed with them was very important. And he said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. So the church at Corinth had a reputation. They had an example that they had set forth, and some of it wasn't that good. And so he wrote them just so they could correct their problems. And so this morning, as we think about the reputation of Corinth, or the example of Corinth, if they said, and then the example of three or four other congregations in the New Testament that we read about, let us look at Beulah this morning, at yourself and myself, but as a congregation, as a group, a local church. And we know that individual members that are baptized into Christ are head of the Lord's Church Universal, but the church functions locally by the two or three or more, or two or 300 or 40 or 50 that assemble in any given location to worship God together, to do the work that God set up for the church to do. And the church is able to do everything that it needs to do within itself. The church can do its own work. It has the ability to function as God set it up to function. And so the church is important. The local church is important because that's what we make up. And so we are a part of a local church, but yet it's made up of us, individuals. And so let's think about our reputation at Beulah this morning, our example. What kind of reputation are we setting toward the people in the community that know us and know that we worship here? Even in that, what kind of reputation are we setting when other people come in to the building here to worship with the church, with the members here? What kind of example do we set before those visitors? What kind of reputation do we leave with them when they get into their vehicle and drive off? We mentioned this morning in our first service about the fact that we are to be friendly. We should be encouraging to others, invite them to come and be with us. And so how is our example? How is our reputation as a congregation? There's another lesson I'm working on in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, to talk about the fact that within the reputation of a congregation and the example of a congregation, it depends on how we function as a group here how the Lord looks at us and how others look at us. And if the Lord looks at us in a way that we are spiritually attuned to Him and we're serving Him faithfully, then our reputation is going to be good with others also. But if it's not attuned to God, then the reputation or example can be misleading to those around us and thus cause problems for the spreading of the gospel and for the cause of Christ. And so let's think about some congregations and the reputation this morning. The church at Jerusalem, the first congregation that was established, the preaching of the gospel on Pentecost, and those 3,000 souls were saved, the church at Jerusalem was known as a growing church. It has a reputation from reading in the Bible. It gives itself a reputation or sets the example of being, on the early days of that congregation, it was a growing congregation, growing numerically. And we see within that scope that apparently they were growing spiritually too, because they were going from house to house and sitting at the apostles' feet and were listening to the teaching of the Word of God. They all had all things common, and they were listening to the teaching of the Word. So they were growing in number, as we're going to show, but apparently they were growing in knowledge because they were going and listening to the apostles and receiving the teaching of the apostles, and they had an interest in that. And so they had a reputation of being a growing church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added the church daily that were being saved. And we find in that same chapter that the church at Jerusalem, there were 3,000 souls added on the day of Pentecost to the church there when they were baptized into Christ, when they gladly received the word, Acts 2 and verse 41. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, as it continued with the preaching of Peter and John in that city, it had grown to some 5,000 members. And then we see in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, that multitudes were added to the church, both men and women. And so the church at Jerusalem had a reputation of being a growing congregation. So they were growing numerically. And we looked at Acts chapter 2. I want to look back there just a minute and read just a couple of verses concerning what they were doing, not only the result of the teaching that was being done, the preaching that was being done, the things that were being witnessed by the people. They grew numerically. But we see in Acts chapter 2 that these people received the word of God, 3,000 souls were added, and in verse 40, and with many other words, he, that is Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them. And then look at verse 42. How were they growing? Well, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So there was some growth being done there, spiritually speaking. They were receiving the teaching of the Word of God. What does the Word of God do for those who receive it? It causes them to grow. Peter says that we're to desire the sincere ministry of the Word, that we may grow thereby as individuals. And so the church at Jerusalem then had a reputation, or has an example set for us in the Scriptures, of being a growing church from the onset of it. Of those who listened to the apostles and followed their teaching, they grew in the Word of God, and then the numbers expanded. They grew numerically. And so the Word of God, the teaching of it, causes the church to grow numerically, and the teaching of the Word of God causes it to grow spiritually. What kind of reputation do we have at Beulah? Are we growing spiritually and in knowledge and in truth and in uprightness and walking in faith? And are we growing in number also as a result of the teaching of the gospel? Well, reputation or example, everyone has that. Everyone has a reputation. Everyone is setting an example. It may be good, it may be bad. But every individual and every business, every congregation has a reputation, either good or bad. And Jesus set the perfect example, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. So his reputation was that we should follow his steps, because he left us an example so we could follow his steps. As a matter of fact, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example for you to follow his steps. So what kind of example did he leave? He left a perfect example. There was no guile found in his mouth. There was nothing wrong. He committed no sin. And so he set the perfect example for us, his reputation was spotless. And so how is our reputation as individuals? How's the reputation of the church at Beulah? And so your individual reputation and my individual reputation is important. We're setting an example of some kind. Either it's bad or it's good. Because Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, the light of the earth, the light of the world. That's what we are as followers of Jesus. He says, so then since you are my followers, set your light. Let your light so shine before men and before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, reputation, example. Every business has it. Every nation has it. Every community has one. Every congregation has one. How is our reputation to be? How is our example? Are we setting a good example? Well, let's look at a few of the local churches in the New Testament, because local churches set some kind of example, have some kind of reputation. And so it's important that both the individuals that make up the church keep their lives right individually, and that reflects the church. And then as a group, as we're noted as a group, when others come in and are with us and see the things we do as a group, are we setting the right kind of example? Are we living up to the standards set by Christ? Are we following the procedures left by Christ and the apostles that the local church should be doing and functioning in? The worship of the church, the work of the church, the things that we're to be doing and involved in. Are we setting the right example by following Christ and the instructions of the Bible? So local congregations have reputations. Some may not be so good as others. Some may seem to be excelling, but we're either faithful or we're not. So are we setting a good reputation at Beulah? What kind of reputation or example are we setting here? Well, let's look at about three or four congregations in the New Testament and look at some of the examples you can find from them by just reading about them in the New Testament. The church at Corinth had a reputation of having a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Well, they had division in the church, and that is a problem. They had division there. Not only they have division in the church at Corinth, they had people who were carnally minded. They were worldly minded. They were fleshly minded. Not only that, they had some disorderly conduct in their worship. And so we review Corinth for just a minute. The reputation they set in the first letter that Paul wrote to them, the things that were going on. Well, they had division. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, he told them that he beseeched them to be of the same mind, that if they would actually be in unity with one another. And so it's important that we see the problems that Paul addressed. Chapter 1 and verse 10, I'd like to take time to read that verse. Now plead with you, or beseech with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. You go back about five or six verses before that, and you see that they had some problems. And you go ahead and read five or six verses after that, we see that specifically there were some of those of the house of Chloe that there were contentions among them. And he said, now, I say to you in verse 12, each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. So he said in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So he's beseeching the brethren to follow the gospel that he had preached to them so they could what? So they could have unity of mind. Be on the same page when it comes to teaching and preaching and the things that they were doing as a congregation. Well, they were carnally and worldly and fleshly minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And our brethren could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So, how are we doing it, Beulah? Are we following men, and the ideas of men, or are we putting men up on a pedestal before we do Christ and God and the things of the truth? Or are we divided over things and issues? They were, and they had a problem. They set a bad reputation. Worldliness is condemned at Corinth and other places. Romans 12:1-2, worldliness is condemned. Don't be conformed to this world. 1 John 2:15-17, it's warned not to be like the world. Don't love the world or things in the world, because the world is passing away. And so worldliness and being carnal-minded and fleshly-minded and having division of the congregation will not get it in the sight of God. These things, if they're in existence, needs to be corrected. They need to be done away with. People need to repent and turn and be in unity and one mind and following the gospel of Christ. Well, they had disorderly worship, 1 Corinthians 11:14. And he covered from the Lord's Supper. They're not having the Lord's Supper with the right attitude, making a common meal out of the Lord's Supper. And he said, you don't make a common meal out of the Lord's Supper. It's not even a place to eat a meal. Eat your meals at home. Have your mind on the Lord and the Savior who shed his blood. Concentrate on this, lest you eat and drink condemnation to your soul. Then later on, he talks about the gathering together of the singing of songs, what singing really is, the teaching of the gospel, the preaching of it has to be carried out so that it can be clear and precise and that all may be edified. And if anyone asks a question, that one would speak at a time and answer it clearly, so there'd be no confusion, so there'd be no division, so there'd be no problem. So you see, Paul addressed the issue at Corinth of really their reputation, of their example, because they were doing some things wrong. And he beseeched them then in his letter and warned them and told them the circumstances. If it didn't change, if you don't correct this, you're going to be in trouble. Well, you're already in trouble, but it's going to be worse if you don't correct it, because he's going to keep on living the same. Well, that's the example of one New Testament congregation. Let's look at the Macedonian church, 2 Corinthians 8:1-3 and Romans 15:26. The church of Macedonia set an example, or as we read in the scriptures, we can see that one of the examples they had was that they were charitable and willing to sacrifice. They were willing to help other Christians in other areas that needed help. And so they were willing to be liberal-minded as far as doing the things that they would do as Christians. 2 Corinthians 8:1-3 says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Because they gave themselves to the Lord and to the service of the Lord and to the cause of the gospel and doing what was right, it made them the kind of people they ought to be. They had the right attitude, the attitude of love, to help support the preaching of the gospel, help support ministry, to help support others in time of need. And so, Romans 15:26. Let's turn back over there just briefly. Romans 15:26. He says, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who at Jerusalem. You know, there was problems. The church at Jerusalem was suffering. Those people, they needed necessities. And so congregations helped in that, and they sent the money. They collected on the first day of the week, and they sent the money to the elders at the church in Jerusalem. And so there's a way to do things. There's a way to set a reputation. How's our reputation at Beulah? Are we collecting the money on the first day of the week as we've been prospering willingly and not of necessity, but doing it cheerfully? And then are we using that in a way to help the spreading of the gospel. Needy saints are with us indeed. That's the three things that the gospel, the Lord's money, was used for then. We have the example and command to use it for. So the Macedonian church set an example of being charitable and doing things the way that the inspiration of Paul and others told them they should be doing the work of the church. The church at Philippi set an example or had a reputation for supporting the preaching of the gospel. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, Paul addressed this, and Paul was glad that they were willing to do this type thing. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, he said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and be suffer things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." But you only. And so the church at Philippi, they had a reputation. Paul knew them as one that was willing to help support the preaching of the gospel. He recognized their good example and he commended them in it. Well, how's the church at Beulah doing in that regard? Well, we are helping some men. We're helping some. There's notes on the bulletin board. There's letters in the back from preachers that we're supporting. And I commend the church here for doing that. Some on a more so than others, in different locations, in different states, in different cities, and even in different countries. And so how is our reputation in regard to supporting the preaching and teaching of the gospel in other areas? The church at Sardis, they set an example of having a name of being dead, of being alive, but were dead. Think about that just a minute. The church at Sardis. Let's look to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Brother Alan Guthrie taught this series of lessons and on our Bible class on Sunday morning on the book of Revelation and covered it real well about the seven churches of Asia and their example. Well, let's look at this, just this one, the church at Sardis. Revelation 3 and verse 1. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." That's quite a statement, isn't it? Think about what the picture that shows. Here's the building or whatever it was, a tent or just a roped off place where they worshiped at Sardis or whatever it was they worshiped in or at. And those members, if they had a name, the church meets here. They had a name that they lived. We're the church. We make up the Church of Christ here. You got a name that you're saying that you're alive, but you're dead. You're not doing the things you claim to be. So the church meets here at Beulah. Our sign out front invites others. So people know that supposedly members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, meets here in this location. The name that we're living. Are we alive in that name? Or do we have some sickness or problems with that? Like they did at Sardis. But we're dead. They had some spiritual problems. They had some problems that they need to correct. As noted on the board, when this happens at Sardis or anywhere, a church loses its good example. Reputation becomes something it ought not to be. So, to bring the example back at Sardis or anywhere, Corinth had to correct their problems in order to get their lives right and get their example right. In the second letter, there'd been some who had repented of the things that were wrong for the reputation they had in the first letter. So at Beulah, what is their reputation? What is their example? Hopefully it's what God wants it to be and it ought to be. But I can cause a flaw in the example of the church here by my manner of life as an individual. Any person that helps make up the church can cause a flaw in the reputation of a church if we don't live up to the standard of Christ as individuals. But as a group then, how do we add up when it comes to the church at Beulah? What are we doing? Well, one last thought, and the lesson will be yours. Or one more church, and then one last thought. The church at Philadelphia, they set an example of keeping the Word of God, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. We're not going to read these verses, but this is where we want to be. This is where we should desire to be. This is where we should be striving to be an example, to have a reputation of keeping the Word of the Lord. Why? Number one, that we'd please God, and He would claim us as His own. And number two, that by being that type of congregation, we would be a good example to other people because we've kept the Word of God. And they too, if they want to come and follow the things that we're following from God, that they too can become a good example of keeping the Word of God. What caused the church at Philadelphia to set a good example? It was because they kept the Word of God. And any congregation can do that then or now. We can be right with God, have the right example, have the right reputation, and set a good standard that others may see, not just to be seen of men, but to glorify our Father which is in heaven. So we conclude with where James read earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. He said, "You are known and read of all men as an epistle." Folks are looking at you and folks are looking at me as individuals. How we do. People actually look at the church at Beulah as a group. How do we look? We need to be concerned, how do we look before God? And if we're looking right before God, then we'll be doing the right thing and have the right reputation before others. So let us follow the perfect example. Jesus set the right example here so that we can have a good reputation before God and before others as individuals and as a congregation. Perhaps there are those who may be here this morning that's never been baptized into Christ, or maybe you're here and you have been, you haven't been living correctly. What kind of example are you setting to your family, to your children, your neighbors, if you're not in the right relationship with God?